And good morning once again. Wonderful to be here. Pastor John and his family should be back next week, so we'll, again, keep that in our prayers. Last week when I was here, our theme was sustainable. How is it that in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, God continues to sustain us, sustain our faith, sustain us in the ups and downs of things, right? Through the days, the weeks, the months, the years, the decades, there's lots of ups and downs. This is not a sprint, it is a marathon as we continue on that journey. And last week we looked at that God sustains us and sustains us in our faith through rest, right? Physical rest, but also rest for our souls, that we don't have to go about working like crazy to prove ourselves to anybody else or even to ourselves, because we are worthy and valuable in who God says we are in Jesus. And that gives us rest, and that helps us to slow down and rest. And I hope you rested this week, and I hope you'll rest sometime this week as well. This morning, we're going to continue with that theme of sustainability, how God sustains us in the faith. But this morning, we're going to focus on how God sustains us in and through community, in and through other people in our lives, that we need other people in our lives, the people that you live with and interact with in your life. And here's the big idea of what we're going to talk about. I'll give it right up front. Most of us in our community have two types of friends. The first type of friend is the type of friend that when you get a phone call from them on your phone and you see the number, you go, oh, man, do I want to answer this call right now? Right? And maybe you're like, do I have enough time? All right, I'm going to take the time. I'm listening. Friends that are your friends, but maybe they draw on you all the time. But maybe they're not, in a sense, building you up. So it might be those friends that in a phone conversation of 20 minutes, you might say about three or four words that might be, mm-hmm, I hear you, yes, okay? So that's one type of friend, friends that just draw on you and can kind of drain you after a while. The other type of friend oftentimes we have is maybe what I call the cheerleading friend, the friend that is always affirming you and encouraging you, yes, you're doing great, which is important and which is helpful, but they don't necessarily always tell you the truth about everything that maybe you need to hear. Okay, so friends that drain you or friends that just affirm you. But God also wants you to have another type of person in your life, a person who pushes and pulls you positively towards the things of God, towards the things of Christ, a person that's going to challenge you and yet at the same time comfort and console you. A person who's going to collaborate with you at that same time. That's pushing and pulling you towards the things of God. And if we don't have those type of people in our lives, we're actually missing out. So a question for us. Why do we even want to have friends? There may be some people who go, I don't really want to have any friends. But deep inside of us, we all want to have deep connections with other people. Why is that? Well, Genesis 1:26, God makes us that way. God says, let us make man in our image. That God as Father, Son, and Spirit, one God in three persons, that God himself is in relationship. The Father, Son, and Spirit are in deep connection with each other, encouraging each other, glorifying each other. So our desire to be with others is a reflection of who we are, of created in the image of God. Our God is a relational God, therefore he has created us as relational people. And that we need that. We're created for relationship, and sin breaks that relationship apart. So we want deep connection with others. But since we're broken by sin, since our relationships don't work the way that we should, that they should, oftentimes we struggle in friendship. Sometimes we're not even very good at it. We struggle to live at the level of connection with others that God calls us to and that desires that for us, that he really wants that for us. On average today, in the United States, adults have two close friends. Two. Now, if right now you're sitting in the pew going, I only have one, or I have none, or maybe you go, I have five, but that means there's other people that don't have as many. two close friends. That's significantly down from previous generations, that number has been going down. But we've had a tougher time making deep connections with others and having friends. What are some reasons? Well, obviously sin is the big reason, just brokenness in our lives and our own relationships. But there are some other reasons that are connected to how sin kind of plays itself out. One is just modern convenience. We can do a lot of things now on our own that we don't need other people for, right? Anybody shop on Amazon here? Yeah, I mean, you can buy whatever you want and bring it right to your door, right? You can listen to your music on your own. It used to be to listen to music, you had to gather around people. People had pianos in their home or guitar, or you'd go to a concert, you'd interact with people. Now, I mean, you can plug in and boom, I'm in my own little world and I've got it. Shopping, exercise, watching sports, all these things that are community or communal activities, we can easily do all those things by ourselves, and we're tempted to do that. Another thing is, we're much more transient now than we used to be. Right? It used to be you kind of grew up, maybe if you were in a rural town and you grew up your whole life there, and you knew everybody, and everybody knew everything about you. And now, oftentimes, people are, I'm going to get away, I'm going to go to the city, now I'm going to move here because I can afford a house, and here I can't. Whatever those things are, we're moving around much more. Our jobs, our places of living, deep friendships require the promise of permanence, that we're actually going to be there. Right? If somebody's coming in and then they're leaving, well, I'm going to be leaving anyway, so why am I going to focus on investing in a person and investing in a friendship? So just our movement around makes it tough for deep connections. Social media can be tough on friendships. They give the illusion that we have lots of friends, right? I have 5,000 friends and however many that is. But how much are there deep connections with that? Deep connections to be transparent and people who are going to push and pull you towards those things that you need in Christ and need in your life. So it's difficult for us to be in community today. There's things in our heart that make it difficult, and there's things around us in our culture that make it difficult. Now, the good news is that what we believe as Christians is that Jesus saves us, but he also restores us, right? First and foremost, with community, a relationship with the Father, this kind of vertical reality. But at the same time, he restores us to relationship with each other, right? So he creates a holy communion between us and the Father again, but he also creates a holy communion with us and our brothers and sisters in Christ, that he actually connects us together. This is what we call the church, right? That as the people of God, God has placed us into each other's lives that we might push and pull each other towards the things of God in Christ, that he's called us into this community for a reason. This is what our text from Hebrews 10 is talking about. The book of Hebrews. These people are Jews, but they become followers of Jesus, and they live in a culture that is very antithetical to that, very against that. And at one point, the author says, you've suffered, not yet to the point of blood, but basically they were getting to that point. There was persecution going on, and there was this struggle for people to kind of want to abandon the faith and abandon what's going on. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, stick together. You need to keep gathering together. You need people who are going to push and pull you towards the things of God in the midst of a culture that's pulling you away from that. And you hear this phrase over and over, let us, let us, let us, let us, as we hear the text. Not let you, let us. Not let me, let us. So verse 22 of chapter 10 in Hebrews. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Kind of a reference to baptism here, right? In baptism, we're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. You've been given a name, and guess what? Everybody else here baptized has that same name. You're made part of a family, an eternal family. In a sense, we say, water is thicker than blood. The water of baptism is even a greater tie, a greater bind between us, even than our blood relatives. That God has put you into an eternal family and one that crosses all boundaries of race and time and space. Verse 23, he continues with that, let us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We hang on to it. We cling to that hope. We don't let go, and we don't let each other let go. Hang on. We're still there together. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Spur one another. In the Greek, it's like stir up or poke each other. All right, let us poke each other to encourage each other towards love and good deeds. All right, if you're parents and you have kids, you're poking your kids all the time, right? Smile. Look somebody in the eye. Say hello. You know, all these things whenever you're going. Yesterday, our neighbors had a birthday party, and they have a little girl, too, and I have boys. And the boys are older. They're like, we don't want to go. Nobody's at our age, you know, and they're all complaining. It's like, all right, we're poking you on towards love and good deeds. Come on, change your face, you know, and the whole thing. Get a decent attitude. And then once they got over there, it was like pizza and, you know, the sprinklers were going on when it was hot and the jumper, and all of a sudden they were happy. You know, they're fine. But we're poking each other. We're encouraging each other along towards love and good deeds. Verse 25, another let us, four in a row here. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day Jesus comes back approaching. We gather together. This time right here, right? This time is important. We gather together to hear his word of forgiveness and give him thanks and praise. Gathering is important. It's difficult sometimes because we assume, well, I can do Jesus wherever I want. Why do I need to gather together with other people? And here the writer of Hebrews is saying, we need this. God works through this to stir us to action, to poke us, to help us cling to that faith, to remind us. This is a gathering that God brings about. So deep relationships, relationships that you're willing to die for and sacrifice for, they require two different things. The first thing they require is a common experience that connects us, some kind of common experience that connects us. The second thing that it requires is a common mission that motivates us. So common experience, common mission. Let's think about this just in other terms outside the church. Think about young mothers. If you are a mother and you think back to the time you had your very first child, right? You've been carrying this child. You've been loving this child, and then all of a sudden you give birth to the child, and the child is in your arms. You take the child home, and then you went, okay, now what? all this thing of, I have to care for this child, and the fear and excitement that is going on in that at that time. And the mission to care for that child and to nurture that child and cultivate that child. Guess what? Guess who you're going to connect and form deep friendship with? Other young mothers who are experiencing the same thing with the same mission in mind, right? That's why moms groups, let's get together and we talk about the same things, right? How many hours of sleep did you get last night? You know, whatever those things might be. And maybe another idea of soldiers, right? If you're in the military, you have a common experience and a common mission. You're experiencing some of the things, being away from your family, being in a different place, going through different difficulties, yet that common mission of we're here for a reason and working together as a team towards that, right? If any of you have been in the military, you know people who have, they might have been with someone in their unit for a year or 2 years, but they form such deep connections that even 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, they are still wonderful, deep connections there because of that common experience and common mission that they shared. So, for us thinking about that in the context of the family of faith, if we're going to have deep connections with each other as the people of God and push and pull each other towards the things of Christ, what does it mean for us as the people of God to have common experience and a common mission? That's what we're going to unpack. Okay, so first, let's unpack our common experience that connects us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, the writer of Hebrews says that we as Christians have the ultimate kind of shared experience, even more than giving birth, even more than being in battle. The ultimate kind of shared experience that we have which is eternal and above all things, yet near and dear to us, is that we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. That is an experience that trumps everything. And now living out that faith together, God gives us that common experience. Our faith is personal, but our faith is never private. The things that we share in this place, the things, our common experiences here that connect us, are not whether or not we have kids or not or served in the military. The things that tie us together in this place are not our common tastes or common education or a common race or a common nationality or a common politics or our common a worship preference or a common lifestyle or a common job or a common age. Those aren't the things that connect us together here. The thing that binds us together in this place and gives us common experience is that we are all saved by grace through faith in Jesus. That's what connects us. We all have allegiance to Him, right? We're all waving His flag. Maybe we're Warriors fans, maybe we're not. Maybe we're Niners fans, maybe we're Raiders fans, and we start arguing with each other, okay? But here, we all fly Jesus' flag. We all have allegiance to Him. That's what connects us. We're deeply connected through our connection to God, who interrupted our lives at some point in time and brought me these truths that opened my eyes to see that I am way more broken and messed up than I thought and I'd like to admit. Yet at the same time, He opens my eyes to the greater truth that He loves me unconditionally, even in spite of all that. Endlessly in the work of Jesus. That's what binds us together at the deepest level, our core of as human beings. And now, even though we may be different in many ways, we're connected through Christ and committed to sharing our life together. Not just showing up on Sunday morning going, hey, how's it going? Good. All right, we'll see you next Sunday and say the same thing. Hey, how's it going? Good. Okay, we'll see you next. It's more than that. God desires more than that. That we might push and pull each other towards the things of Christ in our life. That's our common experience. All right, what's our common mission that motivates us as the people of God? God's purposes for you are greater than getting your kids or grandkids into the perfect college, having the perfect job, marrying the perfect wife or husband, having the perfect kids, having the perfect retirement, and having great vacations all the time. Now, oftentimes, as much as we kind of chuckle at that and go, whatever, sometimes people live their life that way, right? My kid has to do his homework, so he gets into the best school, so I feel good about it, and they do well. I mean, this kind of whole pressure towards, I got to create the perfect life, right? YOLO, right? You only live once, so I got to do it all now and put all this pressure on everything that's going on. God has a higher purpose for you and your family than that. He has bigger things in mind for you. His mission is that He might use you in such a way to let the people around you know that the God who created them doesn't hate them and knows their hurts and is about undoing those hurts and making things new. God has bigger things in store for you. We share that experience and are united in that mission, and that makes us a community. And these people here in this place, they fill a gap for what you need in deep connections. People who are going to push and pull you towards those things of God, who are going to poke you and stir you up and remind you and encourage you and build you up. And this is an experience so profound in Christ that it can even connect the most diverse group of people, right? Mutt and Jeff, people who are like, whoa, how are they together? And all of a sudden people go, wait, how do you guys know each other? Do you guys hang out together? How's that going on? That's what happened in the early church, in the Roman Empire. All of a sudden, you've got people that are slaves and slave owners worshiping together. You have men and women hanging out together. That wasn't very common. You have Jews and Gentiles. Whoa, these people wouldn't even touch each other, eat together. All of a sudden, they're worshiping together. The city of Antioch, this is really cool. City of Antioch, it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. In Acts 11, this is the first place that the followers of Jesus are called Christians, right? Well, why did they have them call them Christians? Because they said, well, they're all followers of Jesus. They couldn't call them the Jews or the Romans or whatever, because in the city of Antioch, there were 18 different ethnic groups in the city, and they had walled the whole city, making 18 different compartments in the city where each ethnic group lived. But guess what happened in Acts 11? People were crossing the walls and worshiping together. And everybody else in the city is like, what the heck is going on here? Who are these people? How are they having these deep connections across the walls, crossing boundaries because of that? And that's why they were called Christians, because, well, all their allegiance is in Christ. They all follow Jesus, the way. And that was turning things upside down. You need those kinds of connections. And the message of Jesus is that you can actually have those types of connections even here at Mount Olive. So maybe you're thinking, yeah, I need that type of third friend. I need that friend that just doesn't drain me, not the friend that just cheerleads me. Those are good friends. But I also need the friends that push and pull me towards the things of God. Yet as you say that, you need to realize and understand what that requires. First, it requires giving up control. Second, it requires accountability. Now, the first one, giving up control. We had this conversation in Bible study, huh? How we all love to give up control, and it's so easy not. Deep community requires giving up control. This is July 4th week, right? What do we celebrate? Our freedom. Yet, what does God call us to? Sacrifice. And giving up control is giving up some of our freedom, which in our culture is difficult to do because it's ingrained in us. It's difficult. You may want to have deep connections here at Mount Olive, but it means you have to consider others even before yourself, not just your wants. It means your life is going to get interrupted by others. Your time is going to get interrupted, or your house will get interrupted, or your family will get interrupted when they have needs or problems, others in this community. To be in relationship with others puts boundaries around your freedom. Think about married couples who are oftentimes struggling. If I do marriage counseling, usually it's because somebody doesn't want to give up some of their freedoms, right? So newlyweds, it's like, yeah, she's frustrated because I still go hang out with my buddies all the time. It's like, yeah, you can't do that six nights a week now, you know? You got to put some boundaries around your freedoms and understand that. And that's the same in our relationship here as well. Deep community requires that we give up control. It also requires accountability. If we're sharing life together and God's mission together, it means we care enough about each other to keep each other and to poke each other when we see each other going off track, running off the rails. Right? That we're going to speak up and be our brother and sister's keeper because we care about them. And it also means that we are open to others doing that for us and holding us accountable. Most of us choose to have friends who allow us to stay the same rather than friends who push and pull us. I'm going to get kind of real here. For men and women, it can be different. I'm just going to use an example. For us, and the reason we need friends, and especially in a place like this. This is a generalization, okay? But there's some truth to it. In general, women tend to be tempted through their ears, and men tend to be tempted through their eyes, okay? Here's an example. Oftentimes, women are tempted. They're very relational, very verbal, right? Very verbal. Highly verbal. And they're going to be tempted to talk too much and to gossip and to love to listen to gossip. And that can tear a family apart, a community apart, a church apart. Then all of a sudden things are going out and relationships get broken because of that. And we need people, deep connections in our lives, who can help put the brakes on that or remind us of, hang on a second, what are we doing here? Let's be careful with that. Not someone who's going to whack-a-mole over the top of you, but someone who cares enough to hold you accountable. For men, through our eyes, okay, there is so much temptation right now with screens, with pornography. And the amount of accountability men need is high. We need other men that will help hold us accountable, that will speak the truth in love, will poke us and stir us towards the things of God. Because when we isolate ourselves, Satan's real happy about that. How do we have deep connections with other men? Just not the let's go to the game guys, or just not, oh man, this guy needs a friend, so I got to hang out with him. But men who we can be mutually accountable to in those difficult things that we don't like to talk about, but we may struggle with. These are the type of people that God says, man, if we embrace these type of deep connections, we're going to be changed by it. And relationships will be restored and sustained because of that as well. You know, one of the main ways that God changes you, it's actually through people. Other fellow Christians challenging you, comforting you, consoling you, encouraging, calling you out, calling you to be who God created you to be. Martin Luther called this the mutual consolation and conversation of the brothers and sisters. That's big words. But basically what he was saying is God oftentimes delivers his grace even through other people as we have give up control to each other and are accountable to each other as the people of God. He works through that. Now, this requires that we don't live isolated from one another. It means we have to hang out. It means you have to invite people over to your house for dinner. Many people, they love Jesus, but they don't love the people of Jesus. Right? There's even a book with that title. They love Jesus, but not the church. Right? I can get Jesus on iTunes. I can get Jesus hiking in the mountains. What do I need to be around other people for? But we can't love Jesus if we don't love his bride, the church. If you don't love the people of Jesus, you don't love Jesus. Imagine this. Imagine you coming up to me after service and you say, hey, Pastor Aaron, it was great to have you. We'd love to have you over to dinner at our house sometime. And I said, great, I'll bring my wife along. And you respond and say, yeah, we don't really want your wife. Just you to come. Now, how am I going to respond? Me and my wife, we go together, right? Two have become one. Guess what Paul tells us? That marriage is just a reflection of Jesus and his bride, the church. So we need deep connections here because that's part of receiving Jesus' love and loving Jesus at the same time, those deep connections. When we start to share life together, the whole world's going to start to take notice. Diverse people forgiving each other, serving people. People see that and they go, what's going on here? I need some of that. It can be a preview to the rest of the world of life as God meant it to be. That other people say, I want to be part of that. In our family, we invite a lot of people over for food. So just about every week we have two or three different nights where people are eating in our home. Because for us, that's one of the best ways to give a preview of God's design for life. To sit and eat together, right? TV's off. Phones are put away. You know, music, you know, all that other stuff. We sit at the table. We eat. We talk with one another. What was your high today? What was your low today? How did you see God at work today? Who are we going to pray for? That people pray for specific people, all those things. But when we invite people into that reality and invite groups of people who are very different from each other, and like, whoa, there's a whole bunch of different people here. People start to go, what's going on? It's kind of weird because I haven't seen this, right? When my son was in high school, he goes, Dad, we're the only ones that eat together. We're weird. I said, yeah, we are weird, but that's okay because that's healthy and that's what God calls us to. And maybe some people will see that weird stuff and go, yeah, that's weird, but it's kind of cool. And I need some of that as well. What does that look like in your life as you gather together? Okay? That other people might see that and go, yeah, I need to be part of that. I want to be part of that. The sad reality is in our church, in our congregations, in the people of God, oftentimes today that's not the case. So some statistics, 6 out of 10 millennials. So everybody talks about the millennials. Poor millennials. They're like, really? You're just going to keep talking about me all the time? 6 out of 10 millennials who grew up in the church have now left the church. 6 out of 10 have said, man, I can find Jesus apart from Jesus' people, apart from Jesus' bride. Now, we can blame millennials all we want, and there can be lots of reasons for that. But maybe a big one is that maybe they haven't seen anything among us that stimulates them, that says, I want to know more about that and be part of that. That there's some deep connections here in this place that are important. If we choose to get over our fear of commitment, if we choose to get over our fear of control and losing that control and comfort, if we choose to get over our fear of accountability and we confess and seek deep community here in this gathering, my guess is that the Holy Spirit works in that. And that the rest of the community, the people you gather with, that they'll take notice of that and go, I need to find out more about that. I want to be part of that. And that's why us gathering together is so important, because here in this place, Christ binds us to the Father, right? That old vertical reality, but he also binds us to each other. That's why we call it a holy communion, a common union with the Father through Jesus, but also a common union with each other through Jesus that is holy, set apart for a purpose. We're not just a collection of people. We're people who have a common experience. We're saved by grace and a common mission, Jesus' mission. What a gift that is. Well, God, let us just come here and go, hey, good to see you. How's it going? I'll see you next week. He'll let us do that. But that's not his design for us. And it's not sustainable over the long term. No one's there pushing and pulling you towards the things of God. All right, I'm going to end with this. You guys know Jerry Seinfeld, right? Comedian. He's got a little bit, classic Seinfeld, where he says, we reach an age as an adult where we stop taking applications for friends. So he's up there and he's like, hey, you can send in your resume, you can give personal references, you can phone for an interview, but you know what, don't expect a call back. I'm not taking any more applications for friends. And you think about that attitude and contrast that attitude with when you were kids. That when you were kids, you became best friends in minutes, and you stayed that way for years. One of my sons, Josue, he's our little relational, everybody's a friend, and he came home from one day, and we're like, what was your hire for today around dinner? And he goes, we had a new kid at school, and we're best friends now. And he was talking about all the things they did. And I said, oh, what's his name? I don't know. But that sense of embracing a friendship and a deep connection and seeing that happen as children, that was normal for us. And I think as an adult, at least me, we start to get cynical about that and more reserved and guarded. I'm not taking applications for friends, we might think. What does that mean for us? What would it mean for us even here in this community of faith if we were open to those deep relationships? And my prayer is that you would be. Because through it, God is going to change you. Through it, God will send a message to the rest of this community around you that they're going to go, what's going on? I need to see that and what's going on with that. And through it, God will meet your need for deep friendship. Not just friends who drain you, not just friends who cheerlead you, but friends who push and pull you towards the things of Christ. Is it going to be easy? No. Will it be pretty? Definitely not. Will it be something you need and I need? Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.